I must admit, there are some times where I put a lesson together and I get up here and I wish I had a different sermon that I could preach. I don't say that the sermon I have prepared for tonight is not a good lesson, not one that I look forward to preaching, but given the circumstances that change throughout the week, sometimes you wish, oh, that would have been a good sermon for this opportunity, for this evening. And I hope that we are a people of prayer. Certainly right now, as we look around us, there are a lot of empty holes, a lot of people missing. And even some who are here are in need of our prayers. We think about Sister Naomi Lay and her passing, and how Brother Blankenship and Sister Blankenship, how they need our prayers right now. The Lindsays and all that they're going through. The Harrington family. Sister Eldridge is still not feeling well. Sister Maria. And the list goes on and on. And so I would encourage you, if you don't, maybe you're not sure what to pray for, I think we got a pretty good list of things that we can keep in mind, and I'd encourage us all to pray for those people this week. But tonight I'd ask that you would go ahead and take out your Bible and turn over to Acts chapter 8. You know, there are so many, hundreds and thousands of characters in the Bible. A lot of individuals that we could focus on, and certainly as we did this morning, we tend to cover a lot about Christ and His life. And rightly so, we should focus on Christ and His life. And so we have that series, Lessons from Christ. But from time to time, we also do a number of lessons on different characters or individuals. And tonight, we're going to be focusing on the character of Philip, but not just doing a character study. We want to focus in on something about his life that sticks out, and that is evangelism, as Philip did it. Philip comes to our attention really in Acts chapter 6, before we get to Acts chapter 8. And his description in Acts 6 and verse 3 is that he's a man who has been of good repute and he's full of the Spirit and wisdom. He was chosen as one to serve as a deacon there in Jerusalem, and yet we see that he wasn't content to just simply serve tables. As the description was, we see that he wanted more. When the persecution arose and the disciples were scattered after the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, we see that Philip went to Samaria and started to preach Christ. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, it says, "Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. When they heard him and saw the signs that he did, for unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city." And these verses help us track Philip in his life as an evangelist and spreading the gospel. We see that Philip, what he was doing was preaching to them Christ. And that's a very important point that we'll talk about later in the lesson. But what does preaching Christ look like? In Acts 8 and verse 12, it lets us know that preaching Christ is to preach the good news of the kingdom. It's to preach the name of Christ, and it's to preach baptism. And from all of this preaching that Philip is doing, he's experiencing positive results. Good things are coming from preaching Christ. And that's what he sought out to do. But he's having success among the Samaritans, which is a rather unlikely group, which tends to be the case in the book of Acts. People you wouldn't expect to respond to the gospel do. And so in Acts chapter 8 and verse 25, it says, "Now when they had testified and spoke the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans." And that is speaking about Philip. And so we see that he is converting people. He's proclaiming the word, proclaiming Christ. And there's a lot of lessons that we can learn from Philip and his life as an evangelist, but all of that really begins on what I want to focus on tonight in verse 26. When all of this changes, when he's going to come across someone, and that is the Ethiopian eunuch. And in verse 26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise, go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is a desert place. And so God calls Philip away from all the different people in the villages of the Samaritans to go and preach one to one person. And there's a lot that we're going to study from Philip tonight. And really what I want us to focus on is how can we reach out to others like Philip did? No, we constantly preach lessons on evangelism. If I recall, this is probably my fourth lesson this year, dealing with evangelism in some form, solely focusing on evangelism. It's been mentioned in a lot more than just four. And we constantly look for different ideas. But I think when we study the life of Philip, we're going to see some things that we can change to our lives today, that we might be able to reach out to others, that we might have success in spreading the gospel and teaching others. And so let's examine Acts chapter 8 and Philip's encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch, that we can learn proper attitudes and proper techniques that we need to teach others and to reach others. And so let's begin by talking about the proper attitudes that we need to reach others. And the first is we need to have an attitude of obedience. As we already read verse 25, it said now, in beginning in verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem, the Gaza. This is a desert place. And he arose and went." And there was an Ethiopian, as verse 27 begins, and we'll stop right there. And so when God commanded that Philip needed to go, that he needed to go down to the land of Gaza, this desert place, we see that he simply obeyed what he was told to do. He went and he followed what God told him to do. And that sticks out because he was having such great success in Samaria. You know, he was baptizing people. He was converting. We read about the conversion of Simon the sorcerer. And it says that there was great joy in that city. I'm sure it was more than just Simon that was converted. And could you imagine if this happened today? Imagine you're getting studies lined up, you know. You're converting people. People are being baptized. They're obeying the good news. And someone says to you, you know, I need you to go to North Dakota. Can you do that? That's the U.S. equivalent of a desert place. There's no one up there. I can say that I'm from Nebraska. There's not a whole lot more up there. Nebraska, Wyoming, Montana. It's practically a desert place. You could say, well, I'm having such success here. There's a lot more people. There's a lot of better opportunities in this area. But that wasn't Philip's reasoning. He instead, when he was told where to go, he followed in simple obedience. And that's an attitude that we need to follow from Philip as well. It probably seemed like a strange thing when he's told to go down from the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. That's not an easy trip to make. But yet he arose and went. And he realized something that we need to realize today, and that is that obeying God is more important than what we think. Well, we think a lot of things, but when it comes down to it, are we going to obey God or are we going to listen to what we want to do? If we're going to be successful when it comes to proclaiming the Word of God to others, we better be able to obey what God wants us to do, not what we would rather do. We need to have an attitude that is submissive to God, to put His will over ours. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4, as Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." Paul, using that analogy of a soldier, to explain the work of an evangelist and that of a preacher. And you may be sitting there thinking, well, I'm not a preacher, so that doesn't apply to me. Don't say that. I'm going to get upset. Don't say that. You know, we all have a responsibility, but not just a responsibility, we all have a privilege to share the Word of God with others, not just the preacher, not just the elders. Evangelism is for all. And so we can't ever forget what gospel preaching is about. It's about serving our Lord. And we need to do that with an obedient spirit and an obedient attitude. I may take ourselves, we may have to take, as they say sometimes, a slice of humble pie to be able to preach the gospel, putting God's will in front of our own. And we need to be able to do that just as Philip did. But not only was Philip obedient in his attitude, he was also willing. He was willing to go from Samaria, then to Jerusalem, and then to Gaza, to that desert place. And as I said earlier, that's not a simple journey to make. It's roughly 50 miles. We're not exactly sure where in that desert place he went. But it's approximately 50 miles. And did I mention that it's for one person? He's not even promised that there's going to be a bunch of people. He may not even know what's coming, but we do. It's for one person. And on this map, I know I put a map up and some of you are like, I cannot read what's in front of me. How am I supposed to see that? But if you can, you see Samaria up there in the purple, the blue. I'm bad with colors. This is not working. There it is. And then you see Jerusalem, right? Where's Jerusalem at? There it is. Jerusalem. And so he's already made his way down from Samaria to Jerusalem. And then Gaza's down here, down the bottom left-hand corner. And they think somewhere in this area, again, it's desert place. We're not exactly sure where, but roughly anywhere from 30 to 55 miles, Philip is willing to travel. And it may sound like a bad example, but imagine there's an individual in, let's say, Valdosta, Georgia, that needs a Bible study. You know, if I say, hey, will you be willing to drive up there and go do a Bible study with someone? What's probably going to be our first reaction? Well, you know, just give me a second. I'll go to, you know, findthechurch.com. I'm sure there's a congregation up there. I'll get a hold of a preacher in that area. They can probably do it. Isn't that often our attitude sometimes? That it's easier to say and develop an attitude, well, someone else can do that. Or maybe I'll let someone else do that. Are we willing to go and teach others, even if it is to just one soul? To have a willingness to go and teach others, it takes a genuine love for souls, not a superficial love. In the same way Christ was willing to leave the crowds to go out and minister the one soul, Philip was willing to do that also. And are we able to do that, to leave the crowds? Maybe you may be thinking, I'm struggling to find anyone. I'm not going to the crowds. Well, we need to always be willing, though. It's the attitude that needs to back up what we're doing. To have this attitude, to see the value in one soul. In Luke 15 and verse 7, it teaches us that one soul is worth much joy. It's worth seeking after. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. That means we need to be willing to leave the 99. We need to be willing to leave the crowds, even if it is just for one soul, because one soul is worth it all. And we need to be willing to do that. Just as Philip was to leave the crowds in the villages of Samaria to go down to the desert. But another attitude we need to possess is that we need to learn how to be impartial. Notice in Acts 8, 27 through 29, how it says there was an Ethiopian. We finally get the description of who this man is. There was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And we'll stop there. It's interesting to note the intentions of the eunuch. He wanted to go where? He wanted to go to Jerusalem to worship, but we notice that he's returning. The language makes it seem that he didn't get what he was after. He was unable to truly worship in Jerusalem with the Jews. And you may be saying, well, why is that? Well, Deuteronomy 23 and verse 1 is a passage that lets us know that this man's a eunuch. He wouldn't be allowed. He would be condemned as unclean, unfit to assemble or gather and assemble with Jews and go into the temple or the synagogue. And so he could have had this sincere heart, which we see he has. But he would have got to the synagogue and the Jews would have said, no way. He is unclean. He is an outcast in the fullest sense of the word. He would have been treated like that of a Gentile. And yet that's what makes Philip such a good example for us to learn from. Philip could have easily let his prejudices get in the way of teaching this Ethiopian eunuch. But we see in verse 29 his reaction. And when the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. And Philip ran. He ran to go and teach this man. And this needs to be our attitude if we want to reach others as well. And it's not always going to be an easy attitude to have. You think a few chapters over in Acts chapter 10, Peter, when he has to go to Cornelius, the centurion soldier we talked about last week, Peter needed a little bit more motivation to go to a Gentile, to a Gentile's house. But not Philip. He was unbiased. He was impartial in his attitude. And today, do our prejudices get in the way when it comes to evangelism? Now, we need to be able to look past the backgrounds and the baggage that someone may bring to the table, especially that of their race, ethnicity, or culture. As one author said, we need to be more focused on the condition of their soul than the color of their skin. And that is so true. Brethren, what a shame if we are unwilling to share the gospel with someone because of the prejudices that blind us. Neither God nor Christ showed partiality. And so why should we today? All men need the gospel, and so our attitude needs to be one that is impartial. One that is willing and able and excited to preach to all men, no matter what their background may be. But also we see that Philip, his attitude was one that was urgent. When the Spirit told Philip to join himself to the chariot, Philip ran in verse 30. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip knew that the urgent need that this man had, and he didn't waste any time. And that's the kind of enthusiasm that we need today. As the early church was very zealous when it came to soul winning, we need to get that back in our pews, in our lives today. You know, some people make the joke. The joke is, you know why the early church grew so fast? Well, it's because they were all new converts. And a lot of people sometimes make that joke, but there's a lot of truth to that as well. Why is it that sometimes babes in Christ are often the most eager, the most zealous to go and share the word with others? And those of us who have been Christians for a while, it's easier to kind of get stagnant in our faith. We need to get this attitude back in our lives. And if you have it, good, keep on. We need to be urgent to share the good news with others because it is simply that. It is good news. We need to learn from Philip and the proper attitudes that we need to possess to reach others, but not just the right attitude. Because the right attitude is going to get us set up with a lot of studies, but if we don't know what to do once we finally sit down with someone, we're not going to have success of preaching them the gospel. We're just going to be a friendly person with them. And so what are the proper techniques that we can learn from Philip in reaching others? And using Acts chapter 8 and verse 30, as we just finished, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" That's the first thing that he does here. He asks a question. And that's good advice for us today. It's something that gets conversation going with others when we ask questions, especially spiritual questions about the Bible and about God's Word. And questions do not only serve as an icebreaker, but it shows a real concern for the other person. Now, people are they're going to have a hard time believing you until they see that you are genuine and that you truly care for them. And one of the best ways that we can show that in our lives is not just by saying nice things that make people feel good, but also by asking questions. Having the concern for their soul and wanting to know where they're at. What do they have questions about? Do they understand what we're talking to them about? And the more questions we ask, the greater interest in study and further discussion can take place. And I'm not saying we ignore the Bible. Not at all. But at the same time, we need to be able to know someone. We have to be able to build some rapport with them before we can just get right into studying. If we know nothing about their background, what their struggles are, the baggage that they will bring to the table, it's going to be very difficult when you get across some passages that may be triggers for them. And so how do we get there? Well, we need to begin by asking questions. You know, our society today, to a flaw, we don't like to be lectured at. People don't like to be preached at. And even more than that, people don't like a know-it-all. And so if you come to the table acting like you have all the answers and you're just going to sit down this person, you're just going to lecture them, it's going to be a big turnoff for a lot of people. And so what we need to be able to do is learn from Philip and ask questions. They don't have to be, you know, the most thought-provoking questions. They can be simple yes-no questions. Do you understand what you're reading? No, you just go over Acts 2 with someone. Does this make sense why Peter is saying all this? And we need to be able to ask questions. Because if we fail to ask questions and we only ever lecture and only ever preach to others, it's hard to know if they're really soaking up what we're explaining. One of the best ways we can know that they're still with us is when we ask questions. There needs to be a balance of instruction and application when we're teaching. And what's the application? Well, that's asking questions, making sure they're soaking up what is being taught. But not just asking questions. We see that we need to know and use Scripture. And although this is second on the sheet, I would say it's probably number one in importance. What good is a Bible study if we're not going to use the Bible? Now, can we answer questions? It's a good thing. You know, it's double-edged sword. You know, we need to be able to ask questions, but what if people return a question with a question? Are we going to be able to answer the question that they probably will have or will come our way? Now, what if when the eunuch asked Philip a question, if he was unable to answer that? Acts 8 would have a totally different outcome. We probably wouldn't be looking at this as a how-to evangelize. It would be how not to. But let's continue reading and see how Philip is able to, his knowledge of Scripture, how that's able to guide this conversation and what takes place. In verse 31, it says, and he said, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this, like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And with the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And if we're going to be effective evangelists, if we're going to be successful at reaching others, we need to know what the Bible says, but also be able to use it when we're talking with others. Explain what passages mean. I couldn't imagine how differently the story would have been if he says, well, how can I unless someone guides me? And Philip says, you know what? There's a guy named Peter, and he would be able to answer these questions. Let me go back and get him. What would have happened? This would have been an opportunity that most likely would have been lost. But he had the knowledge, and he used the Bible to explain to him what the good news is. And we today, we can't remain ignorant of God's Word and expect to win souls. We have to know what it says, and we have to be able to explain it to others. In Hebrews chapter 5, the Hebrew writer is dealing with this problem, that the people should have been maturing. They should have been growing. They should have been able to be teachers, and yet they weren't. And I hope that's not the case with us. Notice Hebrews 5 and verse 11. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Now, this is a passage that calls us to maturity. It calls us to be growing and learning as Christians, constantly increasing our knowledge of what the Word of God says, that we can be equipped to teach others. Now, that's part of the reason why we have gospel preaching during our worship service, why we have Bible classes. It's not just so I can get up here and preach lesson after lesson. It's that you can come and learn, that you may go and teach, that we may take the things that we learn so that we can use it in our own lives to share it with others. That's the formula that needs to be happening. And I don't want this point, the second point, to scare you, that you're like, well, I'm never going to talk to anyone because what if I don't know the question? I've said it before, you know more than you think you do. And that sounds so cliche. But over 30% of Americans don't even know what the first four Gospels of the New Testament are. 30%. You know more than you think you do. And if you don't, not saying it's a cop-out that you can go and ask someone else later, but you always can. Don't let that stop you from evangelizing. But if we cannot accurately describe what it means to be a Christian, we have bigger problems. And it's time we stop drinking milk and we need to start maturing. Very importantly, what we can learn from his technique as well is that he preached Jesus. After reading Isaiah 53, we see that Philip began to preach Jesus to the eunuch. And that's the way it should be. He told them the good news about Jesus. And if you want to know what to do when studying with someone, this is it. This is the blueprint to follow. Preach, talk to them about the good news. Tell them about Jesus. Now, Philip didn't give him opinions. He didn't give him those think-sos. He didn't give him feelings. He gave him Christ. And you want to know the hardest part about evangelizing? It's when you get away from this. It's when you get away from the Bible and you get away from preaching Jesus and all of a sudden you wonder off into the category of, well, what about this? And all those what ifs. And then people are asking questions that you really can't answer. And so what's how do we fix that? How do we avoid those problems? We stick to the Bible. We stick to preaching Christ. At the core of what that is. The only message that can save us today is the gospel, and so that is what we need to teach. And because good things happen when we preach the gospel, we continue reading this. In verse 36, and as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. And just because we preach the gospel today doesn't mean it's always going to happen like this. It may not happen after a 30-minute study that someone says, "Well, there's a baptismal in your building. I'm ready." It may not always happen that quickly. But how, at the same time, how are people ever going to see the need to be baptized, ever be convicted of the sin in their life if we never preach them the gospel? And so we have to preach Jesus. That is why we must preach Jesus. And lastly, we'll finish with this. We need to look for opportunities. Now, Philip was not done after he converted this Ethiopian eunuch and kicked his feet up and said, "Oh, I'm done. I converted a man. I feel so good." I'm sure he did feel so good, but that didn't stop him from going to teach others. We see as Acts 8 and verse 40, it continues to tell us, "But Philip found himself in Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea." So all of a sudden, he makes his way up the coast, and he keeps going up to Caesarea, probably from Gaza, the desert place, anywhere from maybe a 50 to 70 mile trip. This man is all over the place preaching the gospel. You know, and if we're going to be successful fishers of men today, as Christ calls us to be and His disciples to be, we need to cast our nets into the deep. And we need to do that again and again. And using that analogy of fishing, it's not just a one-time action. I mean, I guess you could fish like that, just cast it once and leave it if you're using one of those bobbers. But that's not how it is. It's something you're going to have to cast over and over and over again. And so it must be when it comes to us preaching and teaching others. We don't just stop because we teach the gospel to one person. That just means we get to start over with someone else. We, like Philip, rejoice in saving a soul because all souls are important. And even when we teach one, we must keep on teaching, as the formula should be that disciples make disciples. And how do we do that? Well, we go and we look for opportunities. Not just looking for them, we take advantage of them as well. We need more Philips in the world today. That means we all need to be taking steps to be like Philip, to be an effective evangelist in our lives. Now, Philip may not be the famous Peter or Paul, but what he was a dedicated and very efficient servant of God that helped the spread of God's word. And we should be honored to be called anything like a Philip today. What a blessing that would be. And I hope that we can learn from him, that we can have the proper attitudes and techniques to reach the lost. And maybe you're here tonight and you've been studying. You've heard the word of God. Maybe there's been a Philip in your life, that someone that's been studying with you. And you've come to believe in who Christ is. You're ready to confess him as the Son of God. Repent from the sin in your life and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. You have a chance to do that tonight. During my lessons, I always keep my tablet on in case of an emergency, if someone needs to get a hold of me. And I can always see it, feel it, because my watch will vibrate at me. And I saw an alert that flashed across my iPad that a girl that I studied with, a young lady that I studied with for several months in Arkansas, was finally baptized just now. 2 years later, I thought it would never come, but you know what? After studying, she finally came to her senses that this is what she needs to be, what she needs to do. And maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you realize change needs to take place and you're ready to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. What are you waiting for? Or maybe you're here and you are a child of God and yet you realize you're not walking as a child should. You need prayers, you need courage, you need strength. We can assist you in any way. Don't hesitate to come forward as we stand and sing the song.